Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today on New Life. And joining me, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steve.
And Jill Hubbard is here. Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very, very good. Now, Jill's the author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers and many other books. Dave has a wonderful, wonderful book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Is that it?
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, very
any
close.
Combination will do.
Found in airports everywhere. And then, of course, Dave and I did the Life Recovery Bible together. And, you know, I was at Tyndale a couple of weeks ago, Dave, and they were talking about how Prison Fellowship gives away a Bible to any prisoner that requests it through their chaplain. And they're fulfilling these requests. They get these cards in, and they have notes on them. And it was just so great to hear that these guys in prison, I mean, their lives are not over. They are transforming their lives using the Life Recovery Bible, not just to recover, but to truly restore what Satan has taken away. It's really an amazing experience. So very grateful for that.
Sure.
Well, we would love for you to join us, and we're going to be in the studio for a while. And if you need help at any time, you know that you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Our radio program number is always 1-800-229-3000. And we have a special gift for anybody that gives a gift of any amount. We send you Dr. Henry Cloud's book, The Power of the Other, Our Way of Saying Thank You. So let's go right now, immediately. Let's don't mess around here. Let's go help somebody and talk to Liz from Boise, Idaho. KBXL is the station. Hi, Liz. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on in your life?
Well, I am in my latter years. I just remarried in, October.
Mm-hmm. Wow, congrats.
After the death of a husband in January. Mm. So I believe I was a bit vulnerable at that point. However, this gentleman is a Christian, and we have been trying to blend two households. I have a new home. He has a new home. And I began to feel a little under the pressure, and this is my question, if I should back away a bit in push of me selling my home, getting rid of all my stuff, and combining a home and then building a home together. Mm. Now, the cues that I began to see, because he plays poker, so there's tells.
Yes,
and
right.
I began to see anger issues, mm-hmm. and if I brought up a scenario of another possibility, he is very, very smart and articulate and can just override any idea with his idea. And for the longest part, I thought, oh, wow, he will be such a great leader, and I know he would be and will be.
All right. Well, we're going to give you some help. So hold on. I've got to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to give you some help. You're listening to New Life Live.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're talking with Liz, and Liz says that her husband died suddenly in January of last year, and then she married a gentleman in October, but there are things that are surfacing that are very, very uncomfortable. And so she doesn't know whether to kind of acquiesce and go with his plan, or should she hold her ground. And it is a very, very tricky situation when we're learning the true character of a person after marriage. And no matter how long you date, and of course we would always, like after a death, we'd recommend a long dating process before getting married. But no matter how much, you do often end up with a person that's very different than the person you thought. As I've said, people have that best foot forward. You eat the wedding cake, and then the other foot pops up, and it's not too pretty.
Oh, always, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you thinking,
but,
Jill?
But Liz, you know, you also said that you were, or you're observing yourself, that you were maybe vulnerable. And I think that's accurate. I don't know how long you were married before, but perhaps you were married for quite a while. And it's hard to go from, you know, being a wife, having that be your life and what you're organized around, to suddenly not having that. And so it makes sense that you would desire that again. But you're starting a new relationship. It's not a continuation of the old relationship, or, you know, the exact replica of what you had. And sometimes it feels like, well, if I were married again, then I would be back to that place where, you know, I feel like me. So you're starting something new, and rightly so, you're starting to recognize things. And so it's good to observe that. And I don't think that you have to, you know, catastrophize it at this point, but I think you have to be aware. And this is a time of getting to know your new husband. Who is he? How does he respond to things? And how do I feel about that? So often they say after the death of a loved one, you shouldn't make any major changes for the first year to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so I would think holding on to your house for that period of time would be a wise thing to do, because there's already been a shift in, now you're remarried. Okay, that's a big enough change in and of itself. So I think let's maybe not make any other major changes that would cause you to be, you know, kind of completely severed from your previous life and then feeling like you were trapped.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of the things I was going to suggest, is to go slow in selling everything. The second thing I would suggest, Liz, is that you guys get into counseling. I doubt if you did premarital counseling. So you do some postmarital counseling, and do it together, mm-hmm. so that you have the opportunity to raise some issues in a safe environment and really check out what you're concerned about.
I think she needs some words. You know, how do you say this to a person who, anytime she has presented mm-hmm. a different way of doing things, he has resisted? And, you know, I'm thinking that what you might want to do is just say to him, you know, it was such a change to get married within the year, and I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. And so to sell my house in the same time frame as we got married, it's just too overwhelming for me. And so if you could just be patient, I would be so grateful. You're not saying I will never sell my house?
Yeah,
just saying it's been too much change all at once. I need to kind of slow things down a bit.
And then so he's going to have a response to that. You say he always has a strong response. So you need to have a response to his response. And your response would be, no matter what he says, oh, I hear you. I totally understand what you're thinking, honey, but I hope that you could just this once hear me. It's too overwhelming for me to sell my home right now.
You go back and you repeat what you said.
Right, yeah. Right. And maybe and you say, you know, I just don't make decisions as quickly as you do. And so I need some time to think about all that you're saying.
Yeah, and you can say things like, I need to catch my breath a little bit. And, you know, we always say that a person's character is so revealed when they hear the word no. And so you didn't date him long enough to know how he dealt with no. Now you know. He has an answer. He is strong. He is controlling. And he wants to win at poker. And he wants to win with you, but the win,
right.
The win is winning your heart. And he cannot win your heart unless he's sensitive to where you are. So it's very hard to argue with someone who says, I'm too overwhelmed to do something. And that's where I would just stay with that. And no matter what he says, I'm just too overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody might say, well, wait a second. Isn't she supposed to submit to him? Well, if you look at the scripture, it says, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. And then right after that, it has a few words about a woman needing to submit. And then right after that, it has a lot of words about a man needing to die for his wife, willing to die for her the way Christ died for the church.
Which is
so
a form
we're not
of submission.
Just gonna mm-hmm. we're not just gonna hang submission on her if the man is not doing his part in that fabulous scripture that says to submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. So anybody that has that complaint there, we understand, totally understand that whole passage, not just one part of it, and it's important that we, if we give advice here, it needs to be from the whole counsel of God, not just one particular dimension. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to send you a copy. I think I'll send you Take Your Life Back for You, and then I'm going to send him a copy of Every Man's Marriage. And this would be great for you both to go through it, because Every Man's Marriage is a book about mutual submission in marriage, which is so much more, it makes so much more sense than a dictator doormat kind of marriage. I don't think anybody, looking at the life of Jesus and the way that he treated women, I don't think anybody could make that case that we're looking for dictator doormat situation. All right, I'm really glad that you called. Anybody else, if you need help with anything like this, we have an 800 number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we have a wonderful website at newlife.com. And it's there that you can find out about so many of the things that we do, including the amazing intensives, the weekend intensives. We have an Everyman's Battle coming up on April the 5th in Philadelphia. The New Life Weekend called Finding Freedom. Whatever you have, we're going to help you no longer be managed or mismanaged by it. And then Intimacy in Marriage is June the 28th in Washington, D.C. Please come and join us for one of these intensives. You don't have to be in really bad shape. You can just want your life to be better. That's kind of the bottom line here. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Antonio from Tampa, Florida. WTLN is the station. Antonio, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. Let me go right into it. I was a pastor for 15 years, and I committed adultery. I fell into that sin. That was 23 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to put the marriage together. Didn't work. To this day, we have a beautiful relationship, but I remarried with the lady that I had committed adultery with a year, I believe 2 years or 3 years after, actually 3.5 years after everything happened. I ended up marrying that woman who has been a lovely woman. But my question is this, after 23 years, okay, that happened 23 years ago, I've talked to pastors, everybody tells me you can never start a church, you can never do that ever again. I don't find that in the Bible. I will submit myself because I don't want to, you know, I don't know everything, but the fire still burns passionately for the Lord, for the things of the Lord, for the calling of the Lord. For 23 years I've been mm-hmm. crying before the Lord for what I did. I repented. I know he has forgiven me.
Yeah.
I believe
so your question is whether or not we think it would be okay for you to start a church?
Yes.
Okay. Dave, you want to start with this? I've got some thoughts, but you want to start?
Well, who is in your life as a support system, Antonio?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Who are the men that you have in your life that are a support system for you?
Well, the ones that have supported me be my father, my brother that passed, my son. I have a very small circle because mm-hmm. it was a big church.
Yeah,
I started it in my living room, and then everybody scattered. And I understand. So the circle of male friends that I have is not that big. But I went to talk to other pastors that I respect because of their testimony and, you know.
So after 23 years, though, you have still three people or?
Yes.
But one has passed away. But then you have these pastors, it sounds like, that you're getting input from. But
correct.
Do they, I guess I'm wondering, how well do they know you?
Maybe not as well as they should, I guess.
I mean, it's one thing to go for spiritual counsel, you know, and see what's, you know, theologically correct. It's another thing to have someone really know who you are and has been part of your journey and has, you know, been part of your accountability.
I would work on that. Antonio, I would work on getting a larger circle of men around
outside
you.
Outside of your family. Your family's great, but you need somebody, at least one or two outside of your family.
Because here's the danger, Antonio. You believe that this could never happen again, right?
Yes. Well,
But you need to prove that you have set up a life with safeguards that won't allow it to mm-hmm. happen again. And the ultimate safeguard is that you have men that know you. They can speak the truth into your life. You're accountable to them. And so I would say to you, until you are going to a support group of competent men who love you but also love the Lord, I would say no. Don't try to do anything in the area of leadership.
Right, you're too isolated,
and you're too vulnerable.
Right, and then you set yourself up as a pastor, and then you feel even more isolated.
Once you're a pastor, see, now you have a whole new level of loneliness on the one hand, and you have an attraction from other people on the
right.
other hand. See, and so
understand.
you're not ready for that until you have really good quality male relationships. Now, I want to say this.
I appreciate that comment, but remember, these happened 23 years.
Well, but time alone does not heal anything.
No.
Antonio,
you're asking us
responsibility and accountability before the Lord.
Okay, I understand before the Lord, but let me tell you how men get in trouble: is they don't have other men in their lives, and you ask for the best advice we had, and this is the best that we have: that you need to show that you are connected in a healthy way with other men that know you, that know your wife. That sets a foundation. Now, the worst thing is you don't ever do this, and here's this desire and this ability and this passion that's wasted for another 23 years. And so I'm just going to suggest, listen to what we're saying. Move on that, and then I think absolutely God will reveal to you the opportunity and the right time. We'll be back right after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. And Jill, you had a comment you wanted
to make. I was just going to say that, you know, men that I have known, pastors that I have known who have fallen into this sin and have gone back to be pastors and been successful at it, usually have really humbled themselves and submitted themselves to a process. Being connected to a church, having a group of men that do a restoration process with them, that hold them accountable. The pastors get into therapy. You know, the ones I have known have stayed with their wives, but they've submitted to a process so that they could then go back as an associate pastor before they ever would step into a head pastorship. So it's a long process because pastors are held to a higher standard. And so I think the work really has to be put in. Time can help, but if you haven't been in that role, you haven't been susceptible to that same vulnerability, and you've only allowed time to pass and just your personal relationship with the Lord, stepping into that can be a whole...
Stepping into the old temptations.
Yes, and the vulnerabilities will surface again.
any kind of defiance or defensiveness is an indication there's some work mm-hmm. to be done. And I hate to see people experience being shut out of the Christian community. And I think, Jill, one of the things you said at the break, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's an associate role,
well,
not
right.
necessarily a,
right.
A
you start
main.
And you because yeah. you're under authority. You're willing to submit to right. authority and not having to be in the leadership position, you know, the head position yeah. until a period of time, until others have said, yeah, you're ready now.
And if you're not willing to submit, then the answer, of course, no, you're not ready. It'd be great if you kind of gave up that dream and looked at a dream of total restoration. And if we get his address, I'll send him this Restoration Bible. I think it could really
Well, right. And is it your dream or is it really of the Lord? Because how involved, we don't know, how involved Antonio mm-hmm. is in a church community now and submitting just as a lay person.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So if we get his address, we'll send him this Restoration Bible. It is a great, great way for you to restore whatever's been lost in your life. We have them here. And if you need it, I hope that you will get it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with Paula, San Francisco, KFAX. Hi, Paula. How are you?
Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, how can we help you today?
I was just calling to talk about my husband that I have now that's not treating me right. And I just
How long have you been married? How long have you been married?
About 7 years.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, he's a deacon in a church. I'm his sixth wife. I didn't know it, but I'm finding out things now as I'm married to him, and we're not sexually active anymore. He just doesn't treat me like, and we both love the Lord. We both go to the same church now.
Wait a second. How do you love the Lord if you're not loving to other people? I mean, Jesus was really clear. He said the number one commandment is love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, everything you've got. And then he says the second most important commandment, and he says this, but it's equal. He says it's second, but it's equal. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when you say something like we both love the Lord, what's the evidence of that? A person is either loving of other people or they're not loving. You can't just deny mean, hateful, dismissive things. You either love or you don't love. You know, I preached out at Saddleback a couple of weeks ago, on the 10th of March. You go, maybe the two of you could watch that sermon, because it's all about rethinking love.
He won't rethinking talk to love. Me. He won't communicate with me. He doesn't.
Well, then why did you say? Okay, then why did you say we both love the Lord? Why? How?
I say that because he's a deacon. I was raised in church, yeah. And I do love the Lord. I love him too, and I love other people. It's
okay.
Just that he won't allow me. I don't know whether it's a male chauvinist thing. I'm his fifth wife. He doesn't communicate with me. I don't know. When I say love the Lord, I was raised in the Lord. I think I love the Lord. I love him too.
Point.
It's just
but
that
see, here's
he's
my
not
point.
Allowed me to love him.
Here's my point.
Or others.
It's easy to say someone loves the Lord. If someone loves the Lord, you're going to see evidence of that.
Right.
And you don't see
okay,
any
so he's
evidence.
Right, but you're saying at some point he
no,
accepted Christ and he
God
works
said,
in the church.
God said, love your wife like
yes.
Jesus loved the church. And I'm not getting that from him at all. He goes back and forth. He's like a Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde.
Right.
You know, there's been a
yeah.
little
Well, your first
violence.
Clue was that you didn't know you were yeah. wife number six. So
right.
he's
so what's the question
a dishonest
for us,
person.
We'll, What's the question? We'll talk about it at the break.
Huh?
What's your question for us, and we'll talk about it.
My question is about what should I do? I don't want a divorce. This is my first marriage, trying to figure out. I'm asking God, what should I do? I'm at my wit's end.
We're going to help you. Hold on, we'll do it right after this.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. And we're talking with Paula. It's very sad. She's the sixth wife of a man. It's her first marriage. And she's asking us what to do. Now, Paula, if you were to call him, write him, or contact him, would he listen to you? You said he wasn't talking to you. Would he listen?
He doesn't communicate. We live in the same house. We're in two different rooms. He closes the door on me. I asked him to go to therapy, and he said, you go. I'm not going. And, you know, and like I've talked to my pastor, and none of that's working. I try to talk to him, and he says, there's nothing to talk about. But, you know, we both lost children. I lost mine. Mine was murdered. He saved someone's life. He lost his to a car accident. And I thought that we were compatible in that way and that we both go to church. But I don't know. I had to call his ex-wife to ask her, what am I doing wrong? I was even embarrassed calling his ex-wife.
What did she say?
I asked her, and she told me that he was a dog. But, you know, I
was a dog.
I feel like I made a big mistake. That's what she said. And she was married.
So let me tell you what I think you need to do, Paula. Here's what I think you need to do.
He watches porn. He watches. Mm-hmm. When I met him, he was watching it. But he. We don't even have. We haven't had sex in a year and a half. So
Paula,
he was closing the room door.
Here's what I think that it would be important for you to do. I think that you might want to say to him that, of course, this has been a horrible situation. You might do it in a letter that you leave wherever he sits, that this has been a pretty big disaster for you in your life, and that the least he could do is to go to counseling with you. Now, if he isn't willing to do that, you might say to him, if you're not willing to go to counseling, then I'm going to need to bring some other people into our lives so that we can create some change here. Because this is not what God intended, and I'm not going to settle for it staying the same. And so what I would be doing, if I were you, is I would be trying to motivate him to get into counseling with you, let the counselor work, but he should not be a deacon.
Oh, well, man.
That's why I think counseling with the pastor would be a great place to begin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you, in addition to whatever else you do, you should go get counseling from the senior pastor.
Yeah, maybe the pastor would call him.
Yeah. So that, you know, someone there at the church where he's supposedly a leader is holding him accountable.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if he has said to you what he's willing to do. Like, what is he willing to do? Or does he just think this is how it's going to play out forever? I mean, maybe he's shutting the door hoping you'll leave. Right?
Yeah.
Probably what he's done five other times, and he's probably doing it again.
Right.
Okay, so here again, I'm going to send this this book, Take Your Life Back. But and the other thing, Paula, you need to get some women into your life. And I'd be calling some deacons' wives and saying, hey, I need some connection here. Could we connect? Could we get together? And so you develop these connections. As long as you're isolated, don't do anything, he feels safe. When you start connecting with women at that church and in a recovery group or support group, Bible study, he's going to be more motivated to change.
Yeah.
Don't let him cut you off from the rest of that church
Get
community.
Help for yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You need that.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call. If you need some help, we want to help you. This is one of those situations. If I could get those two people to go to the marriage intensive, they'd probably walk out of there liking each other again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a miraculous change that we see. Let's go to Eric from Sacramento, California, listening on the internet. Hi, Eric. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi. Hello there, Steve. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on in your life?
Yeah, just like everybody else says, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, my question is how do I not take it personally that our 14-year-old daughter does not want to attend our church youth group?
Okay, so why doesn't she want to attend the youth group?
That's a good question.
And why do you take it personally?
Well, it's a good question. I grew up in church, and I've gone through the youth groups, and that I see, and she goes to a private Christian school as well here in Sacramento, and I suppose I feel like she's missing out on a lot by not taking part in the youth group.
I feel she could be doing
fun things, going out to outings, going to camp.
Yeah,
of course,
all there,
right?
But why doesn't she want to do that? What's the
yeah? What does she want to
reason?
Do?
Well, she's very sophisticated. She's 14, going on 40. You can't tell her to do anything.
Well, what's her relationship like with her mom?
Oh, great. I mean, she loves us. I mean, we've been married for 18 years, and there's no problem at all with her relationship with both of us.
Okay, so it makes me wonder if everything's so wonderful, if maybe the youth group isn't a very great youth group. Is there another youth group in another church that she might want to be a part of?
Yeah, I've brought that to her. She has said that a lot of her friends don't go to youth group either.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of a trend. She's really, if she's more sophisticated, her friends are everything. She's following the crowd. And, you know, there can be trends that way. You have her in a Christian school, so she's getting, a lot of input. I'm wondering what she wants to do. And I think it's okay, to also say, well, in our household, we require you to be plugged in somewhere. and school's not enough. There has to be an additional activity.
Right.
So that to be a standard.
And she is involved in our church. She
okay.
does play in the worship band often, and she helps out with the cafeteria, with the cafe, the selling of donuts and coffee and things.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, Eric, that it's you said it's personal to you, but
right.
there's things that you valued from your growing up time that you wanted her to experience, but she's different from
right.
you, and she doesn't
right.
doesn't have the same attraction, and I wouldn't worry about it because she's got other things going on that are good, and I would be more concerned about her ongoing relationship with the Lord. And,
right, and where's
and
her heart
worry
when,
about
in relation to God?
Right. And she does attend the worship service with us.
Okay.
Okay. So, look, I mean, I thought that we'd be telling you to go one way.
Yeah.
But hearing that all these other things mm-hmm. are in place, you know, I really think you could lose her over your goal that she goes to youth group. She is very involved. I think there are thousands of parents that would be thrilled to hear that they're daughters in the worship band, you know, connected, going to service, all this. So, you know what I would do? I would just really try to make her and knowing her and hearing her a huge priority as her father, and don't
yeah,
let
I would
this
be spending,
destroy
yeah,
the connection.
Don't take it personal. Really mm-hmm. invest in knowing who she is. And because she is involved, you know, maybe there are other things outside of the youth group. Maybe there's a mission trip she could go on in the summertime. Something that...
With adults.
Yeah, with adults. Something that's more appealing to her, that keeps her connected and, you know, learning and growing in a relationship with Christ. But sometimes, you know, I know there was one youth group that I kept trying to get my son to go to, and finally he goes, "Mom, the kids are really immature and squirrely there. I don't like it." And so it's like, okay, so now he's going to a completely different, like, life group at another church, you know? And, oh, that's okay.
Well, and guard yourself against looking at what she doesn't have and ignoring what she does have,
mm-hmm.
because you gave us a lot of information about good things that are going on in her life mm-hmm. that if it was my daughter, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I think take that personally. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful reflection on you.
You know, I've had a few dogs, a few pets over my life. I've never trained one by saying, "Do this or I'm not going to give you a treat." It's always a positive reinforcement that pets respond to. Now, I'm not saying our kids are like pets all the time, but you got to put the positive in there. You got to focus on the positive, not always the negative. And I hope and pray something we've said here really means something to you and to her. Send you Every Young Woman's Battle might be something great for you, your wife, to connect with over with her over that book. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this. Also, let me send her Secrets Young Women Keep.
She said, "We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Before we go to another call, by the way, hold on. If you're on the line, we've got another program we're going to do here. And I just want to be sure everybody knows that when you join Club New Life, you get access to a video library, about 300 videos that are just amazing, better than TED Talks, I guarantee it. But to say thank you, I'll send you a thumb drive. Mylon K. Yurkovich did the video that deals with anger and how that relates to how you love, parenting your adult kids, so important, how to talk to kids about sex, and 12 questions that will change any relationship. That's our way of saying thank you for being part of the foundation of New Life, which is what Club New Life is. It really is how we continue to stay on the air and manage this ministry. Please help us if you can. It's $30 a month, but it goes a long way when combined with all the other folks. So please call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and tell us you can be part of it. All right, let's go to, and by the way, if you're, this will be our last caller here on this program, but we'll just flip over to the next one right after this. And I want to talk with Beth, Springfield, Illinois. NRB is the place where the cable National Religious Broadcaster Cables, where she sees us. Hello, Beth. How are you?
Hello. I'm just fine. How are you?
Doing all right. How could we help today?
This isn't really deep in anything, but I do have a question. I'm 51 years old, and I grew up in a very severely dysfunctional Christian home.
Okay.
Very, very bad. And I went through three abusive marriages. And all three of them heavily, heavily into pornography. Bad. I took a tower, three towers, computer towers, to the attorney general. I knew them, and they said the porn was so bad on all the towers that it equaled out to this person actually sitting and looking at all of it would be a full-time job. And
okay,
they
so
couldn't even
how
figure
could
out
we help?
How in the world. What it is God has called me to share my life's testimony, mm-hmm. and I didn't know if you had any suggestions or guidance on how to get out and do that.
Well, are you connected to a church?
Yes, I have been. Right now, my family and I'm a single mom of three. They're older. They're not young. Right now, I have no church home right now. I have grown up, been involved my whole entire life until the last couple of years. For reasons being, I am not able to get into one right now. We are hoping to move and to get out of the area I am, for reasons being. And that's part of my life's testimony. God knows what's going on. God knows the position that we're
in. The way that you start telling about your story is either you're in a recovery group and you take your turn and you tell your story and people respond, or you're involved in a church and you start to share your story and people respond that way. And if they don't respond, then you have to question whether or not you were really called to tell your story if people don't respond to it. Maybe Jill and Dave have some different kind of insight here, but that's what I think about when people say, "How do I start?"
That's how you get started. You got to have a platform.
Well, can I say something?
Sure.
I'm in my community doing that.
Okay.
How so? And so it's not like I'm not doing anything, and I'm sitting here, and I know that God has called me, you know, and like I have not done anything. I have. But I know God is calling me to something higher. I'm writing to several pastors, and getting their guidance and their support and everything on this. And it's not like I haven't done anything, so I'm not doing anything. I have. Okay. What I'm asking is because God is calling me out for something farther, nationwide. Mm-hmm. And I'm right now, because I got a pastor that I'm writing to in another state that I've been to that church. I was a member of that church.
Well, you're doing those kinds of things. I wish I had some other path for you.
I think along those lines, if you're writing to pastors, I think, have you written out your story? You could even submit it as an article to a Christian magazine.
Mm-hmm. And
to get some feedback.
Now, that I have not thought about doing. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
Well, I always tell folks, Jill, that if you write the story and it gets printed in a magazine, it's probably going to be read by more people than even if you were able to get a book contract and get a book published.
Right.
It's just,
and they give you feedback.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They give you feedback. You're asking, how can I kind of get out there telling my story? Well, we're giving you different ways. The recovery route is a good way. Lots of people get launched from, you know, being one of the speakers in a recovery program, and people see them and hear them, and they end up in bigger arenas.
You know, Dave was there when I started, and I started. Nobody knew who I was, mm-hmm. and I was in a church, and I said, hey, I know about alcoholism, so let's do a class. I went to the pastor, did this class, that Christian next to you.
That's how I first met you.
Yeah, Dave came.
I went to that class.
And then that really was the beginning of everything. And you just have to have somebody that knows you, believes in you, and takes a risk. And then it really is about how do people respond. And sometimes they don't respond because it's the right message at the wrong time. And you need a little more time to kind of solidify or whatever. But don't give up. And I love it that you're contacting these pastors
you're following what you feel God's calling you to do. You know, and he'll either, you know, open doors or close doors.
It's just not easy. And boy,
no.
I wish I had something easy to share that could make it
well, and
happen.
Some of it is God's timing. God does have to open the doors. He does have to go before you. So you just have to do the work and keep putting yourself out there.
You have to be connected with the church. When Women of Faith was, we were filling arenas all over the country, I would have women come to me afterwards if I went, and they would say, I really feel called to be a speaker for Women of Faith. And so I would say, well, are you speaking in your church? No, I'm not. So it's very difficult to go from not speaking anywhere to up on a stage like that. It's a journey. It's a difficult, difficult journey. But if God's hand is on you, some things will happen that will be quite surprising. Well, we're just out of time. If you're hanging on the line, hang on, because we've got another program to do, and I want to talk to you because we can help you here. I would remind everybody that we need your help, and we'll send you Dr. Henry Cloud's book, A Gift of Any Amount, The Power of the Other. It's a great book. I don't know if Henry's ever written a bad book, but this is great, great. The Power of the Other helps you understand the effect that other people have on you and the effect that you can have on other people. And I also want to encourage you to join Club New Life. We'll see these great videos that Mylon K. Yurkovich did. We've got great things for you. Here's the deal. People are always saying, do I need counseling? The bigger, the better question is this. Would you benefit from counseling? And I don't know of anybody who wouldn't. And the thing is, once you go see a counselor, you're not stuck. going the rest of your life. You could go two times. I mean, if you don't like it. But if you never try it, you will never know what kind of work God could do on you. We love you. We care about you. If you need help or you could help us, same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Dave. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and pray. We love you. See you next time right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.